Church, that brings us up to our objective for today, our third objective, that in order to do what God said, if we're going to obey God, we must change our desires. We must change our desires. The subtitle for today's message is Unrighteous Desires. Unrighteous Desires. Turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. What do I need to change to do what God said? I need to change my desires. Let me give you a definition of that word desire. A desire is a passion, a yearning, or a lust. It is a longing or craving that brings enjoyment. A desire is a passion. It is a yearning or lust. It is a longing or craving that brings enjoyment. Now, desire and devotion go hand in hand. Wherever there is desire, there is devotion. We are devoted to the things that we desire. We are devoted to the things that we have a passion for, that we long for. Desire and devotion go hand in hand. But we also must understand that all desires are not bad or evil. All desire is not bad or evil. See, David said, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth or long for my soul after thee, O God. My soul longs for you. My soul desires you. Jesus said to his disciples at the Passover meal, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. In other words, with longing, I long to eat this meal with you. James chapter 4, verse 5 says that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. In other words, the Spirit of God yearns for us to be completely faithful to God. So all desires are not bad. So when I say that we must change our desire, I am speaking of a certain type of desire. We must abandon our unrighteous desires. We must abandon our unrighteous desires. Notice I said our, because we all have them. We all have unrighteous desires. What is an unrighteous desire? It's not necessarily what you think. See, an unrighteous desire is not just those desires that we have on our holy list. You know, that holy list that we keep? Desires to have sex and drink and have alcohol and get money. You know, the things that we put on the list. See, we have to be clear with that right away so we don't get on our high horse and ride off into the sunset and exempt ourselves from the message. Because many of us, when we think of unrighteous desires, we say, well, I don't have unrighteous desires because I don't long for those things. I don't want to have illicit sex. I don't want to have drugs. I don't want to have alcohol. I don't want to have money that does not belong to me. So we think that we are exempt, but all of us have unrighteous desires. Let me tell you what an unrighteous desire is. An unrighteous desire is any longing or craving that draws me away from godly devotion. An unrighteous desire is any longing or craving that draws me away from godly devotion. An unrighteous desire is a passion or pursuit that draws me away from God's word, his will, and his work. An unrighteous desire is a passion or pursuit that draws me away from God's word, his will, and his work. See, unrighteous desires draw me outside of God's plans and purposes for my life. They draw me out because God has plans for my life. He has a purpose for my life. He has a standard for my life. And when we have unrighteous desires, we are drawn out of that. But we must understand that the thing that we are pursuing may or may not be sinful. See, you can have an unrighteous desire for something that in and of itself is not sinful. You can have unrighteous desire for something that in and of itself actually serves a good purpose. So the thing that I'm pursuing may not be sinful. What's sinful is my desire for it. Because my passion, my longing causes me to violate God's standard of righteousness. What I want to do, what I think I ought to do, causes me to violate God's standard of righteousness. That is an unrighteous desire. Let me give you an illustration. Now, this is an illustration that my family is not going to like. See, my family is passionate about ice cream. We love ice cream. We are ice cream connoisseurs. And our ice cream portfolio is extensive. We have tried ice cream all over the country. Now, in certain parts of the country, there is an ice cream eatery, and I'm not going to name it. But they sell their ice cream in three distinct sizes. They're not small, medium, or large. No, their small size is called Like It. That's the name of the size. The smallest size they have is Like It. Now, that size is sufficient. It is enough ice cream to eat. But then there's another size larger than the Like It. And that size is called Love It. That size is abounding in ice cream. And it's more than enough. And it should be enough for anyone to be content. And yet there is still a size larger than that. You have Like It, Love It, but then there's Gotta Have It. That is the largest size of them all, the granddaddy of them all. And that is the size that grips my family every time we go. Doesn't matter what we say. I'm going to be self-controlled. I'm going to be disciplined. You going to be disciplined? Yeah, I'm going to be disciplined. You going to be disciplined? Yeah, I'm going to be disciplined. And it doesn't matter. We walk in, walk up to the counter, and it just doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if we're hungry. Doesn't matter if we're full. Doesn't matter if we came in and said, I can't eat another bite. It just doesn't matter. When we get up to the counter, what seems to always come out of our mouth, what size do you want? Gotta have it. Gotta have it. See, the ice cream is not the issue. Our desire for it is the issue. Our cravings draw us away from a reasonable standard of healthy eating. Our desire for it causes us to be way out of bounds. So what does that mean? It means we have to change. And we cannot protest. There's nothing wrong with ice cream. Well, that may be true. Some would dispute it. Those who are health fanatics would say ice cream is not good. But some would say there's nothing wrong with ice cream. That may be true. But the issue is not the ice cream. The issue is that my desire for it draws me away from a standard. So I have to deal with it. Church, there are some passions and pursuits in your life that you have to address. There are some passions and pursuits in your life that you have to address because they cause you to be way out of bounds with God. Your passions and pursuits, the things you like to do, cause you to violate God's standard of righteousness. And it really doesn't matter that the pursuit itself is noble or worthwhile. What matters is that I'm being drawn away. My love for doing what I'm doing causes me to be in an unrighteous state. See, when I'm way out of bounds, I'm distracted when I should be praying. When I'm way out of bounds, I'm busy when I should be learning God's word. When I'm way out of bounds, I'm missing at home when I should be there. When I'm way out of bounds, I'm missing in church when I should be there. I am inconsistent and spiritually stagnant. See, I have to address my desires. Those things that cause me to be out of bounds with God. Those things that cause me to violate God's standard for my life. Those things that cause me to set aside his instructions time after time after time. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Here, the Apostle John, he's writing a general epistle to the church. It's not addressed to any specific church in particular. But in writing this epistle, he addresses a number of issues that are plaguing the church. And he encourages them. He encourages them into what they should do to repent from sin. He encourages the church to have brotherly love one toward another. He warns them concerning false prophets and heretical teachings that were infiltrating the church. So he talks about a number of different things in this epistle. But we're going to pick up in verse 15 of chapter 2. Let's see what he says. John says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." What is the Apostle John saying in this verse of Scripture? Because, see, he's the same man who in the Gospel of John recorded Jesus saying that, "For God so loved the world." So what does John mean here when he says, "Love not the world"? Is he making a contradictory statement? No, he is not. See, that word "world" has multiple meanings in the Scripture. But in this Scripture, John is not saying you ought to despise those who are lost. That's not what he's saying. The word "world" in this Scripture represents all that would seduce us away from God. World in this Scripture represents all that would seduce us away from God. It represents anything that is an obstacle or a hindrance to the cause of Jesus Christ. That word, "world," in this Scripture represents anything that is an obstacle or hindrance to the cause of Christ. John is saying, don't cherish or take pleasure in anything that would seduce you from God.